ladies and gentlemen, we have now got about 25 minutes before lunch is served. So, considering that we had Richard, if you'd like to come back and join us, we had Richard saying that he had some concerns with the URS. We had Paul, who's come up with an alternative version. I'm going to suggest that what we do as the first part of the discussion is actually to take some comments, some discussions on the URS itself and what we've just heard. And before we do that, I just want to ask you to use your time well at the microphone. So anything that you've heard about trademarks, any comments, any questions, they're welcome. If you want to make a comment about the new hairstyle of the new CEO of ICANN, then you're actually wasting the time of everyone here, so please don't. I've got four pleas for you. Please identify yourself when you come to the microphone. Former Q, please come to the microphone while I'm talking. So when you come up, please identify yourself, please identify your organisation. The reason for that is that there is a recording being made, there will be transcripts, and sometimes it's not possible to work out if you're for where you're from when you speak. Second plea is also, if you can, if you're talking about a specific proposal, please say if you generally support it or you're generally against it. And that too is because we can't always tell when we look at the transcripts. The third plea is please use those feedback forms. I've seen a few people scribbling things down, but please use them, because, especially if you're not going to come to the microphone, because ICANN wants to hear from everyone who's here. And then the last plea is to use the time at the microphone wisely, as I said at the beginning, so try to limit it to one question and maybe a supplementary. I know that there's other things. Ellen, you wanted to raise something quickly?
If I may, please. One of the comments that came out, and I just want to clarify, since it was my job and perhaps I was remiss on my slide to say what the IRT intended and didn't intend. With all of the regards to pricing, especially with the URS, I think the helpful comments or the discussion should be around, do you accept it or not? Otherwise, we become George Bernard Shaw agreeing on a principle and just arguing about price. It was never the intention of the IRT group to stick to these numbers. We acknowledge right up front that that is totally outside our area of expertise, and all of the numbers proposed were intended to be done as orders of magnitude for what we thought might suggest would work, but the actual crunching of the numbers of how much it will really cost providers to provide this kind of service, how much each side should pay, what they should pay, et cetera, were again mere suggestions of order of magnitude. So I think that if the debate goes more to what's a good idea and who should be paying rather than the dollar amount, might help direct the discussion better.
Thank you. Dirk, do you want to identify yourself for us?
Okay, does the microphone work? Okay, my name is Dirk Krzyżanowski. I'm founder and CEO of Dot Berlin, the top-level domain initiative, spokesman of the top-level domain initiatives for the cities of Barcelona and Paris and New York and some couple of others like New York and Tokyo as well. And I'm also partner with Dotson, a company consulting corporations and other organizations in acquiring their top-level domain. Here I'm speaking on behalf of Dot Berlin, the Berlin initiative. And I'm supporting, and we are supporting, many of the things the IRT did, and especially the URS, the post-delegation dispute resolution, the thick who is, and the algorithm procedures you presented today. But on the other hand, the statistics at WIPO clearly show that the overwhelming burden, and I mean by that over 90% of today's cyber squatting cases come from the com, net, and org namespaces. The 13 new TLDs introduced since 2000, like .info, .museum, or .travel, had only marginal impact on this statistic and the predominance of com, net, and org in this respect. Therefore, many people, and I think all legal experts worldwide, know that the introduction of additional rights mechanism as proposed by the IRT are only effective if these rights protection mechanisms are also applied on the existing TLDs, in particular com, net, and org. Otherwise, all these cyber squatting cases will not go away because .com is so attractive to cyber squatters. This should be a non-negotiable conditio sine qua non for all rights protection mechanisms. We, as other experts, doubt that the creation of that IP clearinghouse is a reasonable investment for only 100 worldwide trademarks, which was stated at the last ICANN meeting. The work of the IP clearinghouse is defining these 100 famous trademarks, and this has already been done. I have here the list from Brand Z and Interbrand, these agencies which annually define global trademarks.
Dirk, can I just interrupt a second? I think you may be confusing. I think you mean the globally protected marks list, the clearinghouse.
Yeah, globally protected mark list. So there are already lists which are officially used for taxation and other purposes. And I think the list which IP Clearinghouse comes up with is only maybe a cheap copy of these well-done lists here. My last point is, we expect that this IP global, this IP clearinghouse with its top 100 globally protected mark list is only the beginning of a trademark powerhouse, which includes, at the end of the day, thousands of global trademarks. Let me give an example how catastrophic these consequences will be. When the US computer company Sun is on this global protection marks list, the well-known British newspaper Sun has no chance to get its .sun top-level domain or any Sun domain name like sun.shop or sun.london without asking Sun Microsystems for permission. Who wants to have this national trademark extinction procedure in place may raise his hand now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dirk, I think there's a response from the panel there. Jeff?
Yep. I'll turn it over to Fabrizio. Okay. So first, again, the GPML and the clearinghouse are two different things. I think you're talking about the GPML. I'll address your last point, which is Sun. So, your 100 list, I can't say. We haven't come up with the criteria. We actually left that blank for study. So we can't actually say whether it'd be 100 marks, 2,000 marks, 5 marks. So I think that's kind of a presupposition that we should make. And then to answer your question about Sun, the way the proposal is actually written out, anybody who met the criteria, including Sun the newspaper, Sun the computer, and any other Sun, like Sun Raisins, et cetera, could get on the list. It actually wouldn't preclude any one of those or a third party who doesn't own a right in Sun as a trademark but may have a legitimate right to actually obtain Sun. And ultimately, the applicant for Sun, even if initially blocked at the GPML level, wouldn't go and ask the trademark owner. It would actually go to an independent party. So in your example, Sun the newspaper could easily obtain Sun even if blocked, because they'd have a legitimate right. I would say that on the GPML, one thing that's important to point out, and I guess something that I've discussed with many people in the audience and on the panel, is that the GPML offers something very unique, which you're not going to get in the traditional world as things have happened to date with sunrise periods. And Sun's a great example. So today what will happen is, if we apply past experiences, we'll do a sunrise period, whoever the registry is, and all brand owners will be asked to apply in a sunrise period to show legitimate rights. What you'll get is maybe someone like Sun, the computer company, meeting the criteria and initially registering the domain before anybody in the general public has a right to register or ability to register Sun for any number of reasons. What you end up with that scenario is you end up with a unhappy brand owner who has to defensively register domain and hold the domain for a long period of time. You end up with an unhappy public who may have legitimate reasons, like to talk about the Sun and when it'll expire. And you end up with an unhappy registry who ends up with dead space. What you end up with in the GPML is actually quite unique, which is a brand owner who doesn't have to defensively register and maintain a domain that they probably don't want. You have an applicant in the general public who can easily overcome when they show fairly easily, we're not talking drawn out, a lot of cost, to be able to get something like Sun to talk about the Sun's expiration or the newspaper, what have you. And you end up with a registry who should be happy that they have actually a viable space in the internet and in their registry, as opposed to a dead space that historically will just be a defensive dead space. So that's really our intent. It isn't to cause a situation where you have monopolies. As a matter of fact, that actually I think reverses and gives more opportunity for applicants.
So there are things to improve, especially for local trademarks, as it was said by other speakers before.
The final point is, when you mentioned that the majority of infringements are occurring in .com space, and it'd be great if this applied, I don't think that there's any brand owner in this room or up on this panel that wouldn't agree with you. Unfortunately, the mandate that we were given under ICANN was only to look at the new TLD space. Had we been given a mandate to write up a proposal to go across everything existing and possibly to exist, I'm sure that that would have been one of the recommendations we made. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
And Richard, I believe you had a comment as well.
Just very quickly, I just want to re-emphasize the distinction between the IP clearinghouse and the GPML, because I've noticed in a number of comments on the report, a number of commentators have blended these two terms. They're quite separate. Being in the IP clearinghouse does not, inclusion in the IP clearinghouse does not bestow any particular rights. You know, we've got all sorts of trademarks that could be in the clearinghouse but may not get any particular rights at a particular registry. If you're in the clearinghouse, it's just a simple database of authenticated marks. The registry gets to choose what they do with the data in the IP clearinghouse. The GPML, completely different, does bestow all those rights, and I share your concerns.
So that's a question, how many trademarks are on the list? If it's 5 or 100 or 2,000 or 5,000 or whatever at the end of the day, that makes a big difference.
That's right. Thank you. Can I suggest no one else joins the queue? I suspect some of you are going to be disappointed, so I'll note who you are. If we have to break for lunch, then we'll get you back up first. Khalil.
Thank you, Nick. I thank you for the opportunity to speak before lunch, because at least everybody's awake, and maybe we can speed up the process. First of all, my name is Khalid Fatal. I am Chairman and CEO of MINC, the Multilingual Internet Names Consortium, also Chairman and CEO of Live Multilingual Translator. I also sit on the ICANN President's Advisory Committee on IDNs. This is, by the way, the old president. I don't know whether the board will continue that function of that role. But what I'm going to talk to you about, I think there's an element of validity to the concerns I raise. First, I'd like to go on the record. I acknowledge the effort of the IRT members and of the panelists. I acknowledge that the tremendous work that has been mandated upon you. I fully agree with the creation of the IRT by the ICANN board, although I would have preferred that the mandate would have been a bit more comprehensive. I see great value in these consultations. However, my comments and my calls for actions are not aimed specifically at the panelists. They're aimed at the ICANN board, at the ICANN executive staff, bearing in mind that your role has actually terminated. Correct? So again, the comments and calls for actions are aimed at the ICANN board and the ICANN executive staff in their respective duties and responsibilities on the IP and trademark issues and on the rolling out of new GTLDs, but primarily on IDN GTLDs and IDN CCTLDs vis-a-vis IP and trademarks. My concerns are IDNs, IDNs, IDNs. How many times have you heard me say this at ICANN events? So I might sound like a broken record, ladies and gentlemen. But at the same time, my concerns are to make sure that we have process, process, process to serve everybody. Let me give you a feedback about our expertise in this field specifically. When I first became chairman of MINC, one of the earliest actions we undertook was a MINC initiative called the IDN UDRP with the cooperation of WIPO. Ladies and gentlemen, this was back in 2003. So at least it might identify the expertise and the vision we identified early on the needs for rolling out not only IDNs, but primarily a multilingual internet that serves these local communities. So I'm pleased to see Richard, my good friend, from Demand Media. You don't have to answer yet.
I don't get that very often.
That's all I'm going to say about you, Richard. But I'm pleased to see that the format has actually brought in input so that it shows there are other thoughts and other processes and other ideas of how we can make it better. And I would like to thank, and as a matter of fact, I would like to thank Mr. Keating for doing the same thing. So please take my comments in the same approach. The final recommendations that will sit in front of the board that you will come up with, or you have come up with, and what the staff will work on, will actually govern IDNs, and it will govern GTLDs in the ASCII, and it will govern IDN GTLDs, and also will affect IDN CCTLDs. Where I see a significant challenge, and again, this is not a fault of your own, is not enough expertise was on the IRT, not enough expertise were on the panelists of the IRT to actually create enough counter debates on how what you're recommending will actually affect or impact positively, negatively, and how to resolve it when GTLDs in IDNs or CCTLD in IDNs are rolled out. This, actually, the fact, I mean, no disrespect to anybody, but 15 seconds in the presentation highlighted this quite clearly. And again, I go on the record, this is not a fault of your own. It's the lack of the expertise that to complement what you guys brought into the table. I'm not going to go, there are numerous examples I can come up with. I'm not going to go through examples. I'd be more than happy to follow that up with an official letter to the ICANN staff and ICANN board. However, although the IRT's job is officially ended now, ICANN staff are asked to assemble these comments and feedback. Now, how is staff going to do this if IDNs were never factored in comprehensively in these recommendations? So I see that as a major challenge. Now, I call on the ICANN board and ICANN staff, pursuant to the board resolution that created the IRT, to reinstate the function of the IRT, but after incorporating comprehensive expertise in IDNs on its membership and its panelists, to make it congruent with not only ASCII GTLDs, but not only making it US-centric, but also making it congruent with IDNs, GTLDs, and CCTLDs. Now, I would like to hear comments from the senior staff of ICANN on this proposal, and I would like to hear the comments of you, the panelists, of what you think, and perhaps some of the... Now you'll have the chance to speak, Mr. Tindall. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jeff?
I just have a question. I mean, you said there's numerous examples, and, you know, you're right, we don't have that expertise, but let me ask for... Give me, if you could, one example of a recommendation that the IRT made that is incompatible with IDN. Because I think that's what we were looking for in the comments that were some, you know, of the draft report. We didn't get it. We tried talking to people who, some people have expertise within ICANN and some that we knew had expertise, and we didn't really get much back from them. So one example would help me out. Great.
I'll tell you what, I'm not gonna give you an example because that's letting you off the hook. I'm gonna give you a better example. As a matter of fact, if the IRT was supposed to look at intellectual property and at trademarks and protecting trademark owners in the new revolution of the internet, I actually find it quite bizarre that the board has not actually mandated that IDNs be factored into the representation instead of you seeking out some feedback and still making the process look very much ASCII.
Okay.
So, I'll give you an example.
Well, I'll count. Okay.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
What you may consider as slam dunk, okay, is not necessarily a slam dunk from an IDN perspective. For example, let's say you shoot an email and you're supposed to take action on something that's slam dunkable, for example, 15 days. Do you know, in many parts of the world, internet cafes who serve the community, one computer may be servicing 50 users. So by the time that poor, you know, citizen gets back to his computer to read his email that he has been sent notice. Not only that, so you get the point I'm getting at. So the time frame is not necessarily purely that whether 15 days is enough or 21 days is enough. It's making it congruent with the functionalities of the way these people live in local community. So that's one example. You ask for one, so you go one.
I think that's a very good point. I think if your offer to write to Kurt, in particular Kurt Pritz, I think down there, I'm sure Kurt would value that, and I'm sure we would as well. Mm-hmm. Ellen, did you want to?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to agree with you, and that's what I tried to say. What the IRT did consider and didn't, right up front, I said we did not have the ability or the time to consider all the impacts of IDN. So rather than tell you that we considered it or we didn't get sufficient comment, we identified that as something that needs much further and deeper study.
Duly noted. I appreciate that's why it wasn't like a dig. And as a matter of fact, long before I write to Kurt or Doug or the new CEO or the chairman, I would like to have Doug's comments on what I've just said as well.
That's Kurt.
Kurt. Kurt. You're the jet lag one, not me. Sorry about that.
So I agree with what Nick just said. The report of the IRT is for comment, and so what the next task is to take the report of the IRT, take the results of this meeting here and other meetings, and determine how and in what form these solutions can be implemented. If they need to be implemented in a way not recommended here in order to appropriately consider different community IDNs or even different communities across the world, then that's really important. So you should submit that.
I will do so. And on a last note, I will close my comments with just one quick question. It's well recognized that the trademark and intellectual property issues have been well tabled, and now there's a roadshow for this. You were 2 days ago in New York, today in London. I would like to find out if ICANN has planned anything similar on how to educate on IDNs and creating a roadshow to go to the IDN regions. Nothing planned like that as well.
Right, so I don't want to take up too much time
with this group,
but there's a communications plan wrapped around IDNs that's partially executed and can be republicized.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.